Our text for this morning is the epistle reading which we heard from 1 John chapter 5 verses 9 through 15. I call your attention again to these verses beginning at verse 11. This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. This is our text. Dear Christian friends, the courtrooms have been busy. In Ferguson, Missouri, Boston, Massachusetts, now Baltimore, Maryland. One thing is indisputable. People have died. And the question remains, however, who's responsible? Who's guilty? What is it that they deserve? It comes down to who you believe. Bystanders who are witnesses have part of the story, and public opinion and media are ready to fill in the blanks. Police, prosecutors, public defenders may have a different story. Video and other evidence sometimes turns up surprising new angles on the truth. Judges and juries must listen carefully to the testimony, because it's a matter of life and death. John, in our text, is calling our attention today, however, to a different courtroom. It's not in some major city. It's in our own hearts and minds. We are called to pay careful attention to the testimony, because it's a matter of life and death for us. Who are we to believe? What are we to believe? Our text calls us to believe the truth about God, the truth of God about life, to believe that Jesus gives true life, and to believe that God truly gives what He promises for our life. Let's think first about the importance of believing the truth of God about life. John writes, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that He is born concerning His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning His Son. Too often there appears to be contradictory testimony, and the question at issue is also complicated. The issue here has to do with the Son of God, Jesus. Who is He? But the issue is leading us to the next verses in our text about, so what is life? And how can we have life? At the time that John writes this, there is first of all a debate about who is Jesus. Some claim He's just a man that God came into for a while, leaving before He died. Others claim that He's God, but He only appeared to be a human being. John, in his gospel and in his letters, makes the case that He is both true God and true man, both at the same time. Now, human mind objects. This doesn't make any logical sense. John's reply is, this is what God Himself says. He has testified. And in fact, it's the only way for Him to be our Savior, for God Himself to take our place in death. Which leads us to the main point in these verses, which is, how can we have life? The testimony of men, as is often the case, is contradictory, and tends to be based on a partial view of appearances. Some say, well, life is simply biological, and has no other purpose or meaning. Others say, oh no, life is given meaning by the relationships we have, or the experiences that we have that make our lives full. Well, without bothering to argue or think too deeply about it, many live as if life is simply about making a living, having that stuff that you need, and the more stuff, the better. Others live as if life is simply all about enjoying the moment, or at least having the freedom to do whatever it is you want to do. As we look around at what we can see from where we stand, there seems to be a lot of evidence for these various ideas. And there's one ready and willing to stand up and spin it all to make a case, and that is the devil. But John says, just a minute, there is more reliable testimony. God himself, who is able to see things much different in a different way than we are able to see them. God gives testimony to these things in his word. As Jesus himself says in the gospel, his word is truth. John says here that whoever believes in God's Son has this testimony within himself. Not that we discover it simply by looking into our own heart and seeing what we find, but that when we hear God's word, God speaks within us saying, you know it's true. And not to believe it is not just keeping an open mind, but it's saying, God, you're a liar. So what is it that God says about Jesus and about life? He says, believe that Jesus gives true life. This is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Again, in order to understand the great significance of this claim, it's helpful to look at the evidence to the contrary. We'll let that side of the case go first. One thing that's obvious to anybody who looks around at all is death. Our loved ones die. Young and old die. Some die slowly. Some die in tragedies, but all are gone. There's no apparent reason not to assume that we too will die. And why? Who's to blame? The devil, our prosecution, points to the obvious fact that we are sinners. We deserve death. When we're put on the stand, we can't deny it. We're forced to incriminate ourselves. We have done things we know full well is wrong. We are not innocent. Now, like Tsarnaev's lawyer, who may try to make the case, well, yes, I'm guilty, but it's not my fault. I didn't know better at the time, or I couldn't help myself, or I was misled. I was trapped. But we had better not stake our life on such a weak case. Now, Jesus takes the stand. We hear his testimony. First of all, there is life in spite of death, and its proof is that Jesus himself died and was raised to life again. And he makes the case that whoever is then connected to him also continues to have life forever. Second, God testifies that he gives us this eternal life for free, in spite of our sins. The gift is given to everyone in the same way in Jesus. Whoever has Jesus has life. Whoever doesn't have Jesus, the Son of God, is not going to have life. We have Jesus when we have faith in him. That is, believing that what God's word says about him is true. It's true for us, and we stake our lives on it. This word of God is written down for us in the Bible. It's like John's words right here. He says, I write these things that you may know you have eternal life. The same word of God is found also in his sacraments, such as holy baptism, so that we can know that Caitlin this morning and our children who are baptized also have eternal life. Not because of anything that we ourselves have been able to observe, but because God says so. So either we are saved and we have eternal life because Jesus died for us and was raised again, or God is a big fat liar. So relationships and experiences and making a good living and having freedom and enjoyment, those are all good, good gifts from God. But with or without them, the only way to have real life that we're intended to have is through faith in Jesus. And through Jesus, we do have all we need, even when we don't witness it with our own eyes. We believe that God truly gives what he promises. John writes, this is the confidence we have toward him, that we ask, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know we have the request we have asked of him. The situations that are behind the various trials around the country have revealed that many people don't really trust the authorities. They don't really believe what they say, and so they don't have confidence that good things are going to happen and that they're going to get the help that may have been promised to them. This can happen to us too, in our attitude about life. If we fail to see any life beyond the sufferings and the disasters that are so obvious and appear day after day, we will assume that we can't have anything except what we grab onto ourselves. And there is no help except looking out for ourselves. But, John says, when we are convinced of God's testimony, that He has given us life in Jesus, then we have confidence in much more. Things that are not yet seen. Confidence that we will have all we need for life. We have these confidence when two things go together. We listen to God and He listens to us. We can be confident God listens to us because we know He loves us dearly. Through Jesus Christ, He died for us. And our sins are no longer being held against us. And so there's not anything to stop God from answering our prayers. The other side is our listening to God. Notice verse 14 says, if we ask anything according to His will. God's not promising us that we can be sure that we'll have whatever pops into our head to ask for. He says we can be sure to have what is His will. And how can we know what His will is? By listening to His word. There He makes it very plain. His will is that everyone in the world is free from sin by faith in God's word, and that we live godly lives then, according to that word. So there's quite a list of things that God promises, and He wants us to pray for. Stronger and continued faith, and then power to resist temptation, wisdom to know the truth and what's right, courage to do what is right, love for others that is genuine, hope that gives us endurance, joy in things that are good, contentment and peace in the midst of troubles. We know this is God's will for us because God's word says so. We know God can deliver on His promises because He's already kept the most incredible promise of all, and that is sending Jesus as our Savior. Even if I don't have a penny in my pocket, I can be confident I will have the money I need if I have a bank statement that says so. Even if it doesn't look like it at the time, I can be sure that I will have everything I truly need for life because I have a statement from God that says so. I know that God is certainly delivering on His word to deliver us from sin and death and all the power of the devil. So when the trials of life cause a trial to go on in my life, in my heart, about the realities of life and what I can rely on, God takes the stand, and God delivers this testimony. Don't just believe men and what's assumed in the world. Believe the truth of God about life, revealed in His word about Jesus, which is not a lie. Don't just believe what sin and death seem to imply for us. Believe that Jesus gives real life to all with faith in Him. Without this, there is only death. And don't trust what your eyes may see and your hearts may desire. Believe God truly gives what He promises. He promises in His word all we need for life, now and forever. May God grant that this is true for each of us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen. You may rise as we turn again to the inside of the hymnal.